Bunny, written by S.E. Tolson and read by Veer Tyndale. Silas, early 30s with a leonine mop of brown and gray hair swept behind his ears, sits at a kitset desk hammering away on a keyboard. The fleshy neon pink drone of John Carpenter's instrumental synth music slithers out of the giant headphones clamped over his ears. The drapes are drawn and a weathered secondhand desk lamp is the only source of light. In the orange halo of its globe lies a cemetery of chewed up toothpicks in a dish. Silas abruptly stops and frowns at the wall of words on the screen in front of him. Bukowski's impish eyes shine out of his lumpy face from a curling picture tacked to the wall above the screen, the patron saint of writers without an M.A. The air has a damp, brown quality, like old coffee filters. It's exacerbated by the near-empty glass coffee urn perched atop sundry yellowed paperbacks, Salem's Lot, A Passage to India, Ham on Rye, Save the Cat. A small pit bull-looking rescue mutt rolls lazily onto his back under Silas's chair. Silas's bare foot absently scratches the dog's belly as a moist whistle of air escapes his avant-garde end. He takes another exhausted toothpick out of his mouth and drops it among its fallen brothers before fishing a fresh one out of a cheap plastic container that he swiped from a Chinese takeout restaurant after one too many beers. He continues reading as he pops it between his lips and begins crushing the pick into soft wooden strings with his teeth. His eyes are dry, the minute muscles around them tired. The writing, not just today, but months and years before this morning, has been done in stolen time in the derelict hours before the start of a workday in a cascade of meaningless jobs. Silas wrote what bubbled up from the swirling black ocean trenches where his rage and fear lived. He was vaguely aware of a pressure mechanism being vented when he wrote his stories. If he missed too many morning sessions, his mind became depressive, even more, short-tempered. His vocabulary would soften even further. He'd find himself unable to find the right word in a conversation. His mind's eye would see the dustless spot on the shelf in his head where the word had been, but some fucking guy had moved it. "If I didn't write and if I hadn't met you, I'd be dead or in prison, Rosie," he often told her. Rose would smirk and roll her eyes and play air violin, then lightly kiss him, her way of bringing brevity to his maudlin pronouncements, however true they might be. The door cracks open. Fresh air and morning light invade the bolt-hole office. The mutt below him springs up and greets the woman standing in the doorway. She is wearing scruffy activewear that over the past 6 months has morphed into her pajamas. She bends down and cuddles the little guy. "Goober, poor baby. How long has Dad kept you locked in his stinky room?" Rose says. Silas places the headphones around his neck. "Part of that is his fault. I think I could taste dog food." "How long?" Silas shrugs. "Long. Couldn't sleep." He nods at the screen. "It's good, I think." Goober scampers off to check the rundown apartment's perimeters. NYC on a budget is shitty, but at least in Astoria you might get enough space for a dead potted plant. Rose smiles coyly. "Jerry left the voicemail. You listen to it?" "Nope." "Should we just call him? Make it a surprise?" Silas gets up, wraps his arms around her, and nods. She inhales and grimaces at the stale air. "Oh, man. Let's do it out here so I can stay conscious." Silas laughs as she leads him out of the room and into the kitchen come dining room, lounge, entrance, hall, office. Set out on one corner of the kitchen table is a beacon of order in the cramped chaos. The most methodical work surface in the world. A laptop sits at the perfect right angle to the tabletop with a purposefully placed notepad next to it. Rose's workstation.